You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits, go to gamesense.ab.ca.
So the ESPYs are on. Like, do people want to watch the ESPYs? They ever watch the ESPYs?
I've watched it before. There's a few funny. Jamie Foxx, when he did his Serena Williams song, that's still probably one of the funniest moments I recall from the ESPYs. Right, okay. That was a classic song, actually. And there's been some pretty good chirps amongst the hosts over time, so I don't mind it. Like, I find the monologues usually some of the best parts, like some of those award shows. But I don't watch it probably much longer past maybe the opening monologue.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll take up 20 minutes of my night.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, dude, go hit some golf balls, man. Read a book. Jeez.
That's it. Getting the bike. Good night to get outside and do something.
To me, I think it's great when you get some time away from it and can do other things. I'm actually reading an unreal book right now about, I didn't even know there was this happened in 2018 in Laredo, Texas. A guy who was he actually worked the border patrol, and he turned out to be a serial killer, killing all these women. It was. Ooh. It's a crazy book, but I love true stories and stuff. Like, this happened in 2018, for goodness sakes. Like, it's not long ago, and I never even seen it anywhere before. So, the killer behind the badge. Yeah, it's great. The book is being phenomenal. Like, you know, when you have a good writer and it's just like how they, like, I can visualize the people and how he describes them and stuff. It's a fantastic book. So I recommend that. So, man,
I wouldn't know anything about good writing. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay, buddy. I don't understand it, but, well, didn't you have a ghostwriter write your book before? No.
Yeah. No, because if I did, it would have been better.
The NHL sked came out, Spec, and the Oilers will be road warriors early on, especially up until Christmas. All 16 of their road games against the Eastern Conference will be wrapped up on December 18th. And I went back. I could not find to not have to go out east after December. Like, that's a lot. Now, it is only three trips. That's the other thing, Spec. They put all 16 of those games in three road trips, a five gamer, a seven gamer, and then they have a five gamer that includes Minnesota at the end. So their total distance traveled will be less this year, I would think, just because of that, just the fact that they're going all the 16 games in three trips.
Yeah, that's the time for this. Early in the season, players love road trips, right? You know, they've been at home all summer, lots of family time. It's a new team. You got new guys. It's rookie dinners, it's getting to know each other. So it's a really good schedule for the Oilers. I was looking at it today. Get your travel out of the way, the first half of the season, and then when the injuries start to come and the dog days come and you're starting to, you know, we're into game 50, 60, 70, now you're not traveling as far. And now you're playing meaningful games against conference opponents. So I quite like the schedule. I a couple of the trips are fairly lengthy. Like, they tack on a Detroit, Ottawa onto the New York trip and things like that. But I think it's good. It's early in the season. They fly comfortably on their nice charter planes. It ain't that bad once you get out there to go to another town. So I think it's a pretty good schedule for Evan and Jake.
Oh, yeah. I don't have much of an issue with now. The risk is with all the road games early on. Like, I know everyone, hey, the team can bond, and that's all good in theory, but you still have to play well. And you know, you want to avoid injuries, but it does line up with the potential to be a better one, because not only do they have lots of road games early, even in the month of April, where, you know, the last few years they've had kind of a busier schedule. They don't really have, like, even March isn't that busy. April, they only play seven games in April. That's it. Right. And leading up to the playoffs. So seven games in the first 16 days of the month, and the playoffs, usually if they're on a Thursday, so the orders at the earliest are starting the Sunday, probably the Monday. So they'll only play seven games in the first 19 days of the month. That's that's an ability to be rested or more rested going into the postseason if they want it.
Well, and depending on where you sit and how important the games are, right? You look at their, you know, they close out with, they got a little road trip at the end, halfway through April in Utah, San Jose, LA. You know, you finish off at home against Vancouver. The Vancouver game might mean nothing. So yeah, not very busy in April, right? 2, 4, 6, 7 games in the first, you know, I'm going to say the first 18 game days, and probably the playoffs will start like the 19th. So that's good. You know, they're a playoff team. They're going to be in the playoffs if they, unless something goes crazy wrong. So let's see. Listen, I don't, they've made it through all these, whatever the schedule is, it hasn't stopped them from getting to 2 Stanley Cups in a row. So yes, we may be overstating the whole schedule thing a little, but generally speaking, I like the looks of the schedule. It looks the heavy lifting gets out of the way early. And I love the fact that you're, you know, I'm looking forward to the 84 game schedule when you get the extra Flames game and things like that, right?
Well, no, you do have 4 games this year. It's just for the last 2 seasons, year, inexplicably, yeah, it made no sense that they decided to cut it down. Like I always said, for years, the NHL could have solved the problem by just having those 2 extra games would be going to the, would take off the Central. And so you'd play 6 teams in the Central 3 times and 2 teams in the Central twice. That made way more sense than having unbalanced in your own division when your division is what settles the power play stand, the playoff standings. Like, it made no sense to me. And it's like, why? Well, we need to get 2 more games to make it even. No, no, you don't. Because guess what? Once you get to 34 teams, it ain't going to matter anyway. Right?
I wonder if once they get to 34 teams, if they go back down to 82 games, no chance of that happening, right?
Well, they did it before, right? They had 2 seasons of 84 games and then they went back, so I guess they could do it again.
Nah, I guess, but hey, listen, at least the bright side of the coin is no more 8 preseason games, which was just ridiculously crazy. It is interesting. I was with a friend today, George Cochran, and he's out of BC minor hockey, and he was talking about how, like, that Penticton tournament is no more, right, for the rookies. And you'd think with only four preseason games that those rookie tournaments may actually be more important now. It would be a chance to get a look at guys that, listen, when there's 4 games, you know, how many games are your rookies going to get? There's guys that won't even get 1 game, or they'll get 1 and they'll get shipped back to junior. I'd be interested to see if the changing sort of number of preseason games, the downsizing of the NHL preseason, I wonder if that breathes any life into those rookie tournaments again.
Potentially. Well, I really heard this one was, you know, it didn't change because Vancouver didn't want to share it, right? Like Edmonton and Calgary saying, hey, can we have it in Red Deer sometime? And it just didn't happen. So, you know, maybe it's like anything, you can revisit it later. And sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder. And maybe they're like, hey, let's bring it back again. But you might just have the Flames and the Oilers do 2 games, rookies. And that's probably lots, right? To be honest. Because let's be honest, Beck, like out of those rookie games, it's just like the preseason game. Any real rookie is either going to make the team or is going to the American League. A guy to play 1 game to go back to junior, who cares? He's not an NHL player then anyway. So does he really need a preseason game at that point? Like other than, hey, kid, here's great. Like, I don't know. I don't think those early preseason games against a bunch of other juniors and AHL guys really matter, to be honest.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, if you're the kid, I'd probably beg to differ, you know, to get to be able to play a game in the Oilers uniform in Rogers' place. And you know, I get it. You're playing against the other team's rookies, but still. Listen, either way, in today's world, I think with development camps and all the scouting that goes on, we know how good these guys are. We don't need to see them in the Penticton rookie tournament to be able to evaluate and say, oh, hey, this guy is better than we thought. They know how good they are. They know who's making the team before the season starts, pretty much, right, Jay? Like, it's not like there's 7 spots on the Oilers that it's wide open for competition here. But I just enjoyed it, certainly, and maybe I'm being selfish here. I thought it was they're a really good gathering place for hockey as the season begins. A bunch of scouts show up. All the GMs are there. They're all – it's low stress. As a journalist, I used to go there, talk to the GMs, and get really good stuff because everyone's wearing a pair of flip-flops and shorts and they're chilled. You know, Chris Knobloch's there with not much to do, and he's got time to talk hockey with you. So I like the format. I miss the Penticton tournament, but I get it. They don't put those things on for guys like you and me. I understand that.
Yeah, no, from that perspective, I can understand it. But from and a playing perspective, I could see, like, if Edmonton and Calgary play twice, as rookies, which they've done. I think they could do it again, and you know that's okay. I mean, do it one in Red Deer, and or you split in Edmonton, and I think it'll work out. We did have Pete Aubrey. We're going to replay it early. The Oilers' new goaltending coach, and you know, just speaking about kind of where he's at. He's already had conversations with Skinner and Pickard and Matt Tompkins, and the Oilers. My understanding, Spec, is you know a goalie department is something that could be part of the future. Not right now, but maybe as early as next season.
Okay, well, that's good. So I don't know, you know, what if that means that Aubrey's the guy that heads it, or if someone comes in above him, or I think, you know, it's always tricky trying to find the right hire. Sometimes he's not there in a particular summer. Sometimes everyone's under contract. Sometimes the next season, there's a couple guys whose contracts are up who you want. And you can't always do things like maybe you wanted to build a goalie department this summer, but a couple of the guys that you want and that maybe want to come here, they're just not available yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the metaphor is when Ken Holland went out to get a goalie and the only guy left was Campbell, Jack Campbell. And he said, I got to get a goalie. And he got Jack Campbell and it was a bad idea. So sometimes you have to be patient, you know? So if it takes an extra year, it takes an extra year.
Yes, no, and to put it lightly, it was a bad idea. Like they're still paying
the horrible
idea. Paying the price of that still now. Yeah, like it is not.
We need to put it in perspective. There was a ton of pressure in this market from every fan and every media guy. You got to find a goalie. You got to find a goalie. Yeah. More so than we even was on Bowman this summer. And Ken Holland, as a professional GM, let's face it, he got bad advice from his scouts. It shouldn't have happened. He got a goalie that wasn't any good. But we all wanted a goalie in this town, and we got one. And then we said, what are you doing getting that guy? Didn't turn out so good.
Getting a goalie doesn't mean getting a bad goalie. So,
Was no other goalies available. Well,
but you know, right? it's like this year. Many people have been freaking out that the Oilers didn't get a goalie for Skinner. I said at the end of the season, I'm like, where's the obvious upgrade? Like, I'm talking clear-cut, obvious upgrade. And there wasn't one that's available. And Stan Bowman said, hey, you know what? Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to look at different times. And I still think we might see another goalie come in to battle Calvin Pickard. I won't be surprised by that. But I didn't see. So to me, whether you're a fan, it's the old adage. If you're going to listen to the fans and media, then soon you'll be one. So I'm not giving them an excuse. Wow, people called for it, so we got to say nothing. No. Not many people were calling for Jack Campbell to say this guy's the savior. Now, if you would have signed Jack Campbell for a 2-year deal, okay, but get a goalie on a 5-year deal after he's done nothing to prove for 5 years, I'm sorry. Like, there's nothing to. And I like Ken, can't defend that signing.
I like Ken. It was one of the horrible signings. I'm not here to defend that. It was a horrible signing. So, I applaud Bowman this summer. You know, for not going out and just getting a goalie for the sake of getting a goalie. Clearly the trade wasn't there. There wasn't a free agent that you wanted or that you liked. And okay, kick it down the road a little bit. I'm with you. During the season, guys open up that weren't open in June and May, right? So let's see what happens. If they still need a goalie in the middle of the season, I'll bet you there will be somebody available that you'll like more.
Yes, you would think so. Mark Spector from Rogers Sportsnet joins us. Spec, one last one. Looking at the Oilers, and we talked about the schedule and everything, but you look at that Connor McDavid now, it's July 16th. Is this enough time? Do they start to make some conversations? Or do you think they wait a bit longer to engage?
No, I would suggest that it's conversation time. Like, I think you got to look at everybody's day timer. You know, Bowman had the draft, then he had the deadline, and then he had to get his coaches sorted here, right? And, you know, I think the McDavid camp's just sitting back watching him work and seeing what we're doing here. What's the plan? Who are we bringing in? How are we handling this? How do we do in free agency? You know, what are we thinking about? Did we, you know, he makes that trade he makes the trade with Tampa, brings in a young player. Hey, that kind of came out of the blue for us. So good work. So now I think the GM's chores have settled, right? He's got Bouchard signed. There's really no imminent signing left other than McDavid. McDavid has been patient. I think probably now, if not at, in the middle of this week, very shortly, I would say that Judd Moldaver and Bowman are going to start to get a little bit closer on things. I mean, I got to say to you, Jay, doesn't the McDavid camp just fill in the blanks and pass the contract back to Bowman? Like, is there any negotiation when you're Stan Bowman on this contract?
Yeah, maybe term, but yeah, there's not a huge amount here. I still think there'll be some, you know, term. Let's say he only wants 3 years, then you'll try to negotiate to get longer for sure. I think there could be some.
In the end, if McDavid says, "I'm not going past 4 years,"
yeah, you're still. Signing.
If I'm Stan Bowman, what do I say? Okay.
yeah. Right. No, that's fair. Yeah, there's not a, but like Rich Winter had said before as an agent, he goes, the big contracts are usually the easiest ones to negotiate. So,
you know, is that right?
Yeah. And so what he said as an agent goes, you're not, that's not where you really have to grind and earn your keep as an agent. It's more, you know, it's more, you know, getting a contract for the guy who might be a 13th or 14th forward. He feels like that's where you really got to grind and get it out. So, you know, not, it wouldn't be hard. You're right. At this point, be like, hey, Connor wants this. We kind of know what the going rate's going to be. What do you want to get him paid? Okay, here we go. Thank you very much. Right? Yeah.
I think so. And I think that's why the patience is there. You know, we know Connor McDavid's not edgy. He's not sitting out in, you know, Ontario right now going, oh, my God, like, we got to get this done. Like, that's just – there's none of that going on. So the stress level is low on this deal other than Oilers fans. Hey, listen, everybody in this market, like, I'm waiting for that day. We all believe he's going to sign. Jay, I know you think he's going to sign. I bet you my house he's going to sign. But until he signs, he's not signed. So you want to see McDavid put his name on that next contract. And that's sort of the final brick in the Oilers' wall here. And I don't mind the team they built this summer. I think Bowman's done a pretty good job. You tack on a McDavid contract, I'm not sure how you can complain much about his work.
Spec, have yourself an awesome evening. We will chat with you, Demay.
All right, man.
There you go. That's